Couple different places for text this morning. We're starting Exodus chapter 2. Read about three different verses here this morning. I want to say thank you to all the guys, Brother Wright, all those guys who helped out with the breakfast this morning for our moms. Thank you so much for your efforts. And thank you to all those. There's been a lot of stuff going on, from the trees getting trimmed down and all those who helped out with that, from Brother Roger. Thank you so much for all your efforts there. Certainly do appreciate all that. Read a couple of different places here, some different verses. I want to give some examples from some great mothers in the past. And I hope it's an encouragement to you. But Exodus, I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 2. Read one verse there. We'll probably come back and read a couple more there later. Let's see, Exodus chapter 2. Now, I'll probably read two verses here. Exodus chapter 2. I'll probably read verse 2 and... I'll just read verse 2 here. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now go over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. The book of 1 Samuel, it's a few books over there. After Genesis, Exodus, you'll go over Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And for time's sake here, I'm just going to read one verse. I know we like to take our moms out to eat, and I know we're, because of all the presentations, we're a little ways into that, so I'm shorting a few things up here. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, this is speaking of Hannah, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto thee, the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Let's look at one more, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's over there in the New Testament. It's about right in the middle of it. After all your Gospels there, and Acts, and Romans, and Corinthians, then you've got your power company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, General Electric Power Company. I've always remembered it that way. Second Timothy chapter 1, and just one verse here as well. I'll read verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the service today. Lord, please work in hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that this message would be a blessing to all of us. Lord, to be helping our Christian life, to help us walk closer to you. Father, I pray if there's anyone in here who does not truly know Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, I certainly pray your conviction upon them that even today they would come to know Christ as Savior. Father, I pray for our mothers. I pray that this message would be an encouragement to them and a help to them, to those who still have children at home and are rearing them, to those who have raised their children and they're out of the house. Lord, please, I pray that you'd bless and work today. Fill me with your Spirit. Control what I say and how I say it. Lord, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was this a teacher in second grade. He was a second grade teacher, true story, second grade teacher. And on one of the school days, the lesson for this 1 hour in science was he was teaching on magnets. And he was using it to pick up paper clips and all kinds of things. So the whole instruction for that hour was on magnets. And he taught them all about it. And the next day, they were going to have a quiz about that subject. So the next day, all the kids, they come to class. And they get out, he passes out the questions for the quiz from the previous day's lessons, which was on magnets. And the very first question, he worded it like this. Let's see. My full name has 6 letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. The fact is, mothers do so much more than pick up things. They are the ones appointed by God to guide the house. They have a tremendous responsibility in rearing, in guiding, and in training lives. The devil has implemented a many strategies over the years, especially the last hundred of years, to try and destroy the home. He's been pretty successful at it. As we can see, we don't even know what a home is anymore, or we don't even know how to define a family anymore. Perhaps his most important strategy was to get mom out of the home. He did this, one, by having the position of a mother degraded as if it was nothing. I'm just going to read a couple for time's sake here. I really want to get through this. I don't want to be too long, and so I'm going to have to shorten a lot of this. I'm just going to read a couple of quotes here. Here's some ideas, and we can go on and on with quotes from the feminist movement against motherhood. Here's one. Being a stay-at-home mom is incomparable to being a self-sufficient working woman. That getting married and having children is the epitome of average, and therefore not worth recognition at all. And that all is impossible, and that it is impossible to be exceptional if you have a husband and kids. That's pretty much the thinking of this popular feminist who wrote this of many, many today. A Democratic strategist, Hillary Rosen, insulted Ann Romney during the campaign when he was running for president. He suggested that the 64-year-old wife of Mitt Romney, mother of five and grandmother of 16, has never worked a day in her life. Again, what has happened is we have seen the position of the mother degraded. That was the strategy. To try and get it in the psyche, in the thinking of the culture, that somehow you are a less person if you're taken out of the home. When nothing could be further from the truth. You are shaping lives. What is more important than that? What? Absolutely nothing within the home setting. Nothing. The devil certainly does not want the influence of a godly mother in the life of a child. I mean, who has more desire for their child to succeed than mother? Who has more desire for a child to turn out godly and to serve the Lord than a Christian mother? Who else can demonstrate the importance of putting others first than a mom? Who else can demonstrate before their children by the way they live of self-sacrifice than a mother? The devil had to get the mother out of the home to stop that influence. And we see the results of that in our generation today. We are the me generation. They weren't in homes seeing the sacrifice and the lessons that were taught in a godly home, even a home where it was still based on biblical principles of the position of the mother and the importance of her guiding the home and not having another institution do that for her. Today, again, we have the selfie generation. We have our iPads, our iPhones, our iBooks. It's all about us. This generation has lost the influence of godly mothers. How you raise your children is vital. The fact that you are building lives is more important than any scientist, any doctor. It is a crucial role. Again, what mothers, what have your children learned from you? I want us, again, to look at some mothers who have some great attributes and hope it to help. And were a great influence in the lives of their children. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 2. Let's start there. We're probably just going to look at three of these today for time's sake. Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to read two of the verses read. One more verse we read in our text again. It says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Verse 7, Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" Of course, we know what happened. I'm not going to read all those verses. It did just that. Look, I'm going to read this. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 11. I believe it's going to be, verse 23. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." This, of course, is speaking of Moses' mom, Jochebed and her influence that she had and all that was going on. If we went back and earlier in chapter 1, we see that Pharaoh had put out a decree that when the midwives, when the Hebrew women were to bear children, if they had a male child, that child was to be destroyed. They were to kill that child. And so we see here that Moses' mom, she refused to do that. So that tells us a few things. One, she did not have a midwife. So they probably did not have a midwife is what I should say. And of course, I like how she worded this, or Moses is writing this, and he said it was a goodly child. You can tell Moses is writing this. I often wonder if Moses didn't even add to that and the Lord had to stop him. He was a goodly child. Man, was he handsome. He was full of strength. He was destined for success. And the Lord said, Moses, what are you doing? Hold up there, buddy. It's all right. Because how we view our own children many times is, great. I mean, I thought, between Zach and Clarissa were the cutest babies around until Enoch was born. And now it's no contest between my grandchild and those two babies. There's just no contest with it. But she demonstrated faith that mothers need. She did not let circumstances control her influence on wanting to be a godly mother. Faith is so important. She really did have to trust the Lord. She knew she was putting her own life in jeopardy by taking the actions that she did. But we see how the Lord honored it and how the Lord blessed in her life. She had a great desire. She did not want her child to go to the world. You see, that's sort of a picture. I'm going to use this sort of a jumping as an illustration, a spiritual illustration of what was taking place. Again, the decree went out that if it was the male was to be killed. She wasn't about to do that. Of course, that was a physical killing. They were literally to kill that child. But listen, please, in a spiritual sense, the devil absolutely wants to destroy your children. He has things in place to do just that. This was a mother who did not want to throw her children to the world. She wanted to protect them. She kept her antenna up. She wanted to know, listen, how can I protect them? You've got to do that as a mother. As our culture is going more humanistic and more secular, you have got to keep your antenna up to protect your child from going to the world. Be a mother. Be a mother. She did not let the circumstances control her faith. She did not want her child to be destroyed. Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice in the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Phinehas' wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, and so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah arose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they drank. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I'm going to drop down to verse 27 and 28. For context, though, I've got to go back up to verse 24. Let's start at verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks, 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O Lord, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me the petition which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah, another great example of a godly mother. I'll probably talk a few more minutes on her. I almost was going to do the whole sermon just on Hannah, but I'm just going to highlight some things here out of this that I think will be a very good help to Hannah. I think we see some key ways in why what was key to her being a mother. And you just think the child she raised was Samuel. One of the greatest prophets that we had was Samuel. And make no doubt about it, but Hannah's actions and her love for her child had great influence in the life of Samuel. That should never be overlooked. One thing I want you to notice that she had was Hannah had a right relationship with her husband. She had a right relationship with her husband. Her husband wasn't perfect. That's for sure. We can see that earlier in the chapter that he wasn't perfect. He wasn't certainly was not always in the will of God. We know he had two wives. But we know that she had a right relationship with them, with her husband. This is the key to being a godly mother. Your children will learn about human relationships with how husband and wife respond to each other. They're going to learn. This is the way God has established the home. From the time they're very young, they're going to be learning on how to deal with each other and how to handle things when problems come up, when disagreements arise. They're going to learn from mom and dad's example. They will learn much in how you interact with your spouse. They will learn about kindness. They will learn about sin. They will learn about forgiveness. They're going to learn about grace. This is all in how the husband and wife interact with each other. They're going to learn from you. Hannah had a right relationship with her husband. We see, number one, that they worship together. We see that in verse 3 and in verse 19. That Hannah is with him when they worship. They worship together. Boy, that's so important. That's so important as a family that your children see that. That in your lives that what comes first is God. That they learn that the church just isn't a social club. It's just not something we do to have friends. It's not just something we do to get out of the house, but that we recognize the importance of the Creator and all that He has done for us through redemption. The kids need to see that in the lives of mom and dad. That your children need to be able to see you, mom, even on your knees in prayer before the Lord. They need to see the importance of that relationship. I think that's perhaps my favorite part of the relationship, was that they worship together. We see that they also loved each other. Talks about him giving that double portion and unto Hannah and the love that they had for each other. Well, your children need to see that. They need to see that the husband loves the wife. They need to see. They need to see that from the time they're toddlers. They need to see that the wife loves the husband. They're learning how to interact through that relationship. We've got this backwards. We think that they're going to learn all their social skills from a public school institution. You do not want your kids learning their social skills in that environment. They need to see how this whole thing works in the institution that God has given, and that is the home. They worship together. They loved each other. We see in verse 8, they certainly talk about their struggles. They talked about their struggles together. You know, they'd work things out. You see, where Hannah wasn't eating, then they dealt with it, and the husband came over, then she eats, and then the very next thing she goes there, you can see how this developed more. Right after that, though, she goes and prays unto the Lord. You know, as they talked and they worked through struggles and things that they were facing, they did this together. I like the fact that she even followed the lead of her husband. Samuel was going to learn a lot in his home. See, they were having the foundation set for a godly environment to raise children. Not only was she right with her husband, she was right with God. She was right with God. I mean, we see her here when she has her need. We see her going unto the Lord. I mean, from begging God, knowing who to go to. We know that she knows the right one to go to for the need that she has. She's not going to other sources. She's not trusting in different things of this world. She's going right to God and begging God and crying before Him for help. As in verses 10 and 11, as she's seeking the Lord in prayer. Again, moms, let your children see you in prayer. Seriously, let them see you in prayer. When you have your devotion in the morning, I know, and that's before public. We should never do our prayer time out in public to be a display. But listen, your children need to see you in prayer. They need to see this, and this is what mom and dad do. She did not want a child for selfish reasons. What's amazing is in verse 11, she tells us why she wanted a man child. Lord, I want to raise him for you. I mean, please understand, Hannah understood the greatness and the responsibility of motherhood. I mean, she wanted that position in her life. Lord, I want the opportunity to raise a child for you. It wasn't for selfish reasons. Boy, moms today, determined to raise your children for the Lord. The most important thing that you can give your children or teach your children is not financial security. It is not education. It's not all these things that we're taught in our culture today. The most important thing you can give your children is a desire for God. You say, well, we've set aside everything for their education. They can go all the way through their postgraduate and get their master's. That's all great. But if they don't have a desire for the Lord, you're just educating them on how to be a better sinner. That's all you're doing. But I want them financially secure. Ask the rich man how well that worked out for him. But I do know this, the Bible promises, and I actually do believe these promises in the Word of God, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know my children will be taken care of, and I can sleep at night if they're putting God first. That's what you have to drive into them. That is the key to the success of their life. She wanted to raise this child for the Lord. Do you see that? She wanted to raise him for God. We also see she was also faithful to her word with what she promised the Lord. I mean, she did make a big promise. Lord, I'm going to give him back to you all the days of his life. She was faithful to that. Samuel saw that. He witnessed firsthand through his mom, what you vow unto the Lord, you do. And listen, this nation was in trouble. Keep in mind that the setting of 1 Samuel in history, the historical setting, when this is beginning, this is at the end of the time frame of the judges. This is at the end of the time frame when every man was doing that which is right in his own eyes. Eli has serious problems, not only in his home life, even with his ministry before the Lord. I mean, here's Hannah praying bitterly unto God. And what does Eli hear, this prophet of God, this priest of the Lord? Oh, she's drunk. It doesn't take much to see a mother who is broken compared to somebody who's drunk. So you see his lack of discernment in the position that he's in. This is a wretched time in the history of Israel. They're needing leadership. And the Lord was getting ready to raise up a man named Samuel. And key for that was his mom, who said, listen, I just want to raise a child for the Lord. You know, in that day and time, at the end of the time of Judges, I don't think there was a whole lot of moms in Israel saying, give me a child so I can raise them for you. No, well, Lord, we need a child because it's going to help us economically. We need help on the farm. We need this. We need this. She wanted to raise a child for the Lord. There was no selfish motives there. Not only that, she took her responsibility as a mother seriously. Look at verse 21 again. Let's go up to verse 21. Actually, I don't think I read there yet. Yeah, this is a good principle here. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifices and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Now, we don't know how many years she weaned him. I certainly learned in New Guinea that they certainly wean their children for many more years than what is average in the United States. So I don't know how old he was when this finished. But the point I want you to see here is she did not get sidetracked off of her responsibility that was given her. In verse 21, she said, listen, I need to stay here. Here's my responsibility right now. This is what I need to do. And of course, he's all for it. I get it. Absolutely. You know, absolutely. She stayed focused. Listen, when your parents know what's going to happen, a lot of times there's going to be things coming in your life to sidetrack you from your responsibility as a mom and a dad. To get that influence less. To get the influence less. She was not about to get sidetracked from her responsibility. She stayed focused on the reality that she was a mother. She was going to honor God by this, even though she would go to from the worship to her husband's and all the different things that would take place and the fellowship she would have as they would travel. She'd listen, no, this is what I need right now. This is my responsibility. I am going to raise him for the Lord. I want him to turn out right. Because really, how many men at this time in Israel's history were really serving God with all they had? Very few. You know, it said by the time a child reaches 18, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. In fact, women who never have had children enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year in leisure time. I read this. I thought it was humorous. It was a mom had a four-year-old and a six-year-old. It was Mother's Day, so they want to get something for her. And the six-year-old was going to lead the charge. So they went to get some flowers at a grocery store somewhere like that. And while they got them, it had some writing on it. And they thought the writing on this little, there was like a little band going across it with writing on it. And they thought, this is perfect for Mom. And so they present it to Mom. It's Mother's Day. And the mother reads it. And she has a look of shock on her face. And she asked him, well, why this? And we thought it was perfect. It says, rest in peace. You always say you need some peace and rest. And, of course, as you read through the Bible, you see what a great man of God Samuel became. Lastly, let's just look at this quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll be done. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put these in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting hand in my hands. And it goes on. I'm just going to stop there. We see Timothy, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brings out one of the key attributes in Timothy's life and what helped him grow to become the man that he was. That this young man that the Paul would give great responsibility to in the ministry in this critical time in church history as it's just beginning. As it's been in many places getting ready to become criminalized even to be a Christian. But there was this man, Timothy, but he knew what was key in his life, what was going to help him, was he had witnessed this unfeigned faith that his mother had, and his grandmother. In other words, their faith was real. It wasn't a game to them. It wasn't a social club. Eunice didn't have it easy. Eunice was not married to a believer. She wasn't married to a believer, but she still maintained the godly, biblical principles. I believe she had the same attitude, just like Hannah did, wanting to raise a child for the Lord. She was not putting self first. She was no hypocrite. Your children, it is so crucial that they don't see you one way at church, and then there's different rules outside of church. The children saw the godliness in Mom. They saw this was a mother who certainly wasn't perfect. That's not what the Lord requires of us.
But what he does require is a heart that is really going after him. And listen, your children will recognize that. Your children don't expect you to be perfect. But what they need to see is a genuine faith in God. That it's not a game to you. That you, well, they do witness where God is changing your life. That even at the times you have to set self aside. You know, and the Lord will put those positions in your life and they're going to see, wow, Mom really did change. This is real to her. It wasn't about getting in the car all of a sudden and making excuses on the drive home from church on why we don't need to follow that portion of the Word of God. It's like, well, this is going to be difficult. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I want to do what's right. And then there's little Johnny and Mary right there. You know, they're 3 years old, 4 years old, 10. And they see that. They see that. They see a faith that's real. It's too often we learn to put the mask on when we come to church. You see, the key is allowing the Lord to get your heart. It's going to be difficult for the Lord to get your child's heart if he doesn't have your heart in a Christian home. If he doesn't have your heart in a Christian home. Her children had witnessed an unfeigned faith. We also know she also made sure, this mother did, to teach her child the Word of God. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, a popular verse. That mom was going to instill in her children the Word of God. And there's a mixture there. If you're trying to instill it, but there's a hypocritical faith, you're not doing much. Your walk has to match your talk in a Christian life. Your walk has to match your talk. I have some more here, but I want to go to a closing. We've seen three examples here between Eunice, who had an unfeigned faith, who gave her children the Word of God, to Hannah, who was right with her husband, right with God, and stayed focused on her responsibility as a mother. We saw Jochebed, who used faith and not allowing circumstances to determine how she raised her children. And that day's coming. You understand that? It's been, for generations, it's been easy to be godly parents in the United States of America. There hasn't been much faith that was needed in that sense. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand that there. I mean, a day is coming. It's going to be more challenging to us legally, socially, culturally. We're going to need greater faith in trusting God with our responsibility to our children. I'm going to finish with this illustration, this story. Let me read this. The young mother set her foot on the path of life, brand new mom. Is the way long, she asked? And her guide said, yes, and the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it. But the end will be better than the beginning. But the young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way and bathed them in the clear streams. And the sun shone on them, and life was good. And the mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. And then night came, and a storm, and the path was dark. And the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, oh, mother, we're not afraid, for you are near and no harm can come. And the mother said, this is better than the brightness of day, for I have taught my children courage. And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead. And the children climbed and grew weary. And the mother was weary as well. But at all times, she said to the children, a little patience and we'll be there. A little patience and we'll be there. So the children climbed. When they reached the top, they said, we could not have done it without you, mother. And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked up at the stars and said, this is a better day than the last. For my children have learned strength in the face of hardness. Yesterday, I gave them courage. Today, I gave them strength. And the next day came, strange clouds which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled, and the mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory, and it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother talked of Jesus and said, This is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God. And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years, and the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. But the children were tall and strong, and walked with faith and courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond the hill they could see a shining road and golden gates flung wide. And the mother said, I have reached the end of my journey, and I know that the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone, for they walk with God. Please, mothers, do not let this world form your view on the importance of your position. The lessons learned in the home are crucial and vital. With every head bowed and every eye closed,